Hare Krishna. I just did an interview with two wonderful devotees, Madhava Sangini and Arjuna, who are in New Zealand. And I wanted to present them and their ideas in life to all of you so you can see what an ideal, balanced, Krishna-conscious life can be. Hare Krishna. There's actually two extremes that I wanted to deal with and show people a happy medium, which is happy grihastha life. So the two extremes I was talking about is the modern Western, that's fine, the modern Western understanding of a relationship between men and women is basically, for the youth, it's like a series of multiple relationships. And I'm sure you have that in New Zealand, too.
Yeah.
Like multiple relationships where nobody's needs are getting met, but people are attempting to fulfill basic needs like the need for companionship, protection, and everything like that. But somehow or other, they get frustrated in that. And so that's one extreme. The other extreme is, you know, the Hare Krishna monk understanding, where you see that becoming a devotee means you just basically have to renounce all dealings with human beings, any sort of affectionate dealings with human beings, and that's sort of scary. And so what we're attempting to do is show people who are coming to Krishna consciousness in the modern world, primarily Western people, but also people who are in India, to show people that there is a happy medium, that people can be married in Krishna consciousness, happy, having their needs fulfilled, and be young too. And so both of you are quite young, as far as I see. Of course, compared to me, probably everybody on this earth is young. That's another issue. So I want to ask you a series of questions, and you could be spontaneous. You can play with the baby or whatever it is. You see, they're very, for those of you who are going to be watching this video, they're a very happy couple. They're smiling.
Arjuna's perpetually serious, though, so we have to remind him to smile.
All right. So that's the reason for this video. So I'd like to hear, first of all, how each of you came to Krishna consciousness. I mean, what brought you to Krishna consciousness? Who brought you? What was the circumstance? And later on, we'll talk about the marriage. So who wants to go first?
I can start.
Okay.
I think it's funny that you're using us as like any kind of example, Gurudev, because we're just like really normal people. Sorry, the baby was about to impale himself on the guitar.
Well, the reason I'm talking to you is because you are normal people.
Okay. So I came to Krishna consciousness through having a lot of unanswered philosophical questions in my teenage years. So I explored various paths. I went to church. I explored atheism because my parents were atheists. I explored Buddhism and you name it, Sri Chinmoy, anything really. I read lots of things. And then, I found the philosophy of Krishna consciousness answered all of my questions to boot. So I was very satisfied with the answers I got. And that was the main reason that I took up the process, and along with side with kirtan, because the kirtan was so satisfying and just so easy to get absorbed in. And so,
yeah, I understand you joined through the LOF program. Is that right?
So, do you want to go get him?
Well, okay.
I'll take the computer. You take.
That's all right.
So I initially went to the temple. Actually, I initially just got into Krishna consciousness through just through finding out about the Beatles, actually, and George Harrison, and I was just chanting on my own when I was a teenager, and then I went to the temple in Christchurch, but it was really Indian ethnicity, and they had Tulsi Aarti and all this stuff at the Sunday feast, and I felt really culturally shocked. So then I went to the Loft the next year, and their sister centre in Wellington, and met the devotees there and joined through there, and then did a year in the ashram at the Loft, and then moved to the temple the year after that.
That's nice. That was pretty quick.
It didn't feel quick at the time, because I was really I had a lot of doubts and questions that I worked through over those few years.
What was the biggest hurdle that you experienced?
I think I was quite a feminist, because in New Zealand, feminism is quite big, and I found the kind of feminism aspect quite a hurdle, just reading things in Prabhupada's books and being like, whoa, and just having to really kind of change my understanding about, just kind of that on the spiritual platform we're equal, but not on the material platform.
But you do believe in equal opportunities for men and women.
Of course I believe in equal opportunities, but I'm saying that bodies have different abilities.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I believe in equal opportunities for men and women. I'm not in the kitchen rolling chapatis every day of my life. It was really funny, actually, because when I first moved to the temple and I wasn't associating with Arjuna, it was so funny because a lot of the Indian ladies would try to set me up with people, and they'd say, they'd ask me questions, and I'd say, look, I'm not interested, and I'm not rolling chapatis for the rest of my life. But anyway, I don't know. I mean, I definitely believe in equal opportunities for men and women, but I found the feminism aspect one of the hardest things to reconcile, I think. Mm-hmm. But again, once I understood it in context, it wasn't even an issue.
Yeah, I mean, from my understanding, you have a very good prime minister in your country.
Yeah, I mean, New Zealand is quite progressive in terms of women.
Actually, it turns out the best prime ministers in the world, at least two of the best, are in Germany and New Zealand, and they're both ladies.
I mean, certainly, we have good examples of female leadership here.
Okay. Do you think women can become gurus in the Krishna consciousness movement?
I think it's pretty obvious what my stance is on that.
What is your stance?
I certainly believe that women can become gurus in the Krishna consciousness movement. It would be ludicrous if they couldn't. Because we're all spirit souls. And I don't see any reason why women shouldn't be able to become Krishna conscious gurus. And also, I think it's really bad for preaching if our society sets a precedent that women can't be gurus. It's like, who's going to join our movement?
That's true. Bunch of chauvinists. Okay. Okay. Well, why don't we take Arjuna for a second?
Okay.
How did you and why did you join the society?
So I went to church when I was little, and then when I was 11, I got my mum and I had to start going to church again. I was praying every day at age 11 for a while, and then lost interest in church when I was 16 and started to become quite philosophical, and their answers weren't satisfying to lots of my questions. And then when I was in New Zealand, I was studying at Wild Park College. There was a devotee distributing prasadam there, so I was eating prasadam 3 days a week, and I was very fond of this devotee and was saying nice things about him to all the other students, how he was saving us from malnutrition by giving us affordable meals. And a couple other of the students there started joining, and so I was taking interest.
Yeah, sure.
And then one day I went to the Loft, and Dave Ramita Swami gave class, and already being theistic, having believed in God my whole life and having been quite philosophical, the class convinced me straight away. and I just kept coming along. So that was May 2011, and then it took a few months till I started chanting japa, and then it wasn't until the end of the year that I was chanting 16 rounds, and then I was away.
Very nice. I mean, you're very philosophical, and you have a number of philosophical videos on the internet that are quite interesting and mind-boggling, to say the least. So, now, here's more questions. Why did each of you decide to get married? And the answer should not be because I told you so. I told you.
I mean, I just kind of fell in love with Arjuna, to be honest. I don't know if that's what you meant to say.
Yeah, well, we're quite compatible, and it seemed like the right thing to do. It seemed like Krishna wanted us to get married.
There's an answer from the head and an answer from the heart. I guess, Arjuna, you just calculated it.
He totally calculated it. Least romantic person in the whole world. No, I mean, it just made a lot of sense, but it was also definitely a love marriage.
Yeah. And this is interesting. Was there any opposition from the devotees as far as you're getting married so quickly like this?
Yeah. Lots of opposition.
They wanted us to take 2 years.
No, they wanted us to take 3 years.
3 years, really? Oh, okay.
No, you're allowed to... Yeah, they wanted us to do it really slowly. I do understand that makes sense in a lot of situations for people to associate slowly and check their compatibility, but I think we were both really determined and kind of knew that we were really compatible.
A lot of the other people we know that got married quickly did not succeed in marriage.
So I can totally see why there was opposition, but I do think that there are situations where people are just obviously compatible and have determination and it will work. It's just, yeah, for us it was definitely the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's good. And how were you able to overcome that opposition? People said you should wait longer, you should take your time.
I've never really cared that much what other people think. I've always just tried to work out what I thought was right and then gone with that. And of course, there was plenty of devotees that thought we were doing the right thing. So just focus on those people and not worry about the ones that disagree. There'll always someone who disagrees.
Jiva. Well, Gurudev, we talked to you.
Yeah.
And I feel like because we had your shiksha and had both taken shelter of you, like if you'd been telling us that it was a bad idea and that we should slow down, we would have listened to that, and we would have, but, you know, we had shiksha that supported us, and obviously you can't take on board everybody's opinion about your life, otherwise you just go crazy.
That's good.
It wasn't easy though. I felt like kind of embarrassed at the time.
Married is just embarrassing.
Yeah, getting married is really embarrassing.
Why is it embarrassing?
Well, like, you're the center of attention for the whole day.
Oh, you mean... Oh.
Yeah, weddings are embarrassing. But the whole point is it's a big yagya and you think, no, I'm only doing that once. Once is enough.
Do you find, sorry about that, it's funny. Do you find that, and here's a little controversial question, do you find that in our society that sometimes there's a little bit too much stress on renunciation and not practically considering what people's lives will be long term?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, there's so many devotees who give years to the movement and then don't have practical skills and end up working as cleaners and struggling and working long hours just to pay the bills once they eventually get married, which is obviously really hard. And then there's also so many instances of devotees, you know, getting married really late because they finally figured out they wanted to get married, and then, well, it's really, it can be really stressful then trying to have children when you're older, and there's a whole, it's obviously comes with a huge package of stresses trying to have children when you're older, and yeah, so I can see it's really, really common in our society that either renunciation is stressed and then people get married older, and yeah, or it's just, yeah, quite often that happens anyway. People get married older and it's stressful. Yeah.
I mean, are you happy with the decisions you made as far as getting married and your family and everything like that?
It was the best decision. Yeah. I love that we got married young, and I can see so many practical benefits because, I mean, obviously that gives you like a strong emotional kind of foundation. You're like, you're committed, you have that kind of ironed out, so then you can just live your life and have somebody who you're committed to who's along with that journey with you. But I also found that like getting married young meant that we could grow together rather than already have like the way that we did things kind of already set. Mm. So getting married young, we didn't really have preconceived ideas about things, and then we kind of, I was 21, he was 23, and we just kind of learnt to how to live life together and how to practice Krishna consciousness together. And
as opposed to people getting married when they're old and they're already set in their ways, and then they fight over their different various ways and don't change.
And that's what Prabhupada said too, that people should get married by the time before 30, because after that it's very difficult to adjust. So what are your normal days like? I mean, not talking about right now during the coronavirus time, but I understand that Arjuna, you work as an electrician.
Yeah.
So what is your day like, Krishna conscious day?
5:30, get out the door.
I don't know if it's going to sound good. Hey, Jace, I'm going to tell your day because you're so not going to do a good job of it. Arjuna drives to the city, chants some,
at 6 a.m.
He chants his rounds in the car.
A couple of rounds.
Not while he's driving. Once he gets to work, he parks to beat the traffic. He drives into town, parks, chants some rounds, chants Gayatri, eats breakfast in the car, works, takes a lunch break, chants some more rounds. Changes light bulbs all day.
While I'm at work, I listen to lectures or audiobooks all day long, or seminars, pretty much.
And so you have your own firm now, or you work for another organization?
I still work for somebody else, which I'm very glad at the moment with coronavirus, because everyone owns a business is out of pocket.
That's good.
But yeah, I'm still working for somebody else, which is good too, because
just angle the camera and I'll feed
him. I work 8 hours, come home, and that's it. Whereas if I was running my own business, I'd come home and start doing paperwork. But
maybe that's good. And because you got married early, you were able to develop a skill set to maintain your family pretty easily.
Yeah, and I chose one that was really easy to get into.
The funny thing is, Gurudev, that when I met him at Well Park College, he was studying yoga therapy, and I'm so glad that he went to become an electrician, because I have no idea how he would have supported our family with yoga therapy.
Massage.
Yoga therapy, aromatherapy, Ayurveda. Yeah, he wouldn't have been supporting our family in those things in New Zealand.
That's good. Very practical. And Madhavasangani, now, what is your day like?
So I don't know if it's going to sound like very good, but sorry. So I co-sleep with the baby, and I usually wake up before my kids and chant japa on my clicker while trying not to wake up the kids, so that I can get a little bit of connection with Krishna before they wake up. And then Arjuna will be at work, so I'm at home. I'm fortunate to be able to be at home with the boys. I will cook them breakfast. We have a variety of things we do during our week, so we're part of a play centre, like a play cooperative, where parents come and organise
right.
group play for children. Obviously, learning through play is a really big thing. We also... Jeeva. Sorry, I'll just try to settle him.
That's fine. Back. That's part of the video is the crying.
Better traumatize the brahmacharis.
Yeah, this video will not be available for brahmacharis to watch.
So then we also have a Krishna conscious play group that we run at the temple for our children. I do that in combination with other mums. We have like a roster and take turns leading different play. And then 2 days a week, Narottam goes to kindy, which is for like a preschool with his other devotee friends. And don't show the baby eating crackers.
It's okay.
And then on those days, I managed to catch up on reading, housework, and I also do some promotion for the Kirtan program that we run on the weekend.
Great. So you find your life is very satisfying?
Yeah. And then in the evenings, we obviously all eat dinner together. We'll do an aarti, some kirtan at home. We read the kids lots of books before bed. We all have dinner together. I don't know. Just, I would say it's a really satisfying life. We have a really good kind of balance. Yeah.
Good. And I understand that Arjuna has some extra interest too, preaching interests. You want to describe those?
Right. So I've always been extremely philosophical and logical and liked a good debate. There's not that many ways to use that for spreading Krishna consciousness, because when you're talking to a new person, you can't just bulldoze them with philosophy. Unless they're extremely philosophical, which is not very common. So I've decided that a good way for me to use that skill for Krishna is to create media online. And when you kind of put something out there on the internet, you're not bulldozing anybody with it. It's there and they can watch it if they want. So if people are interested, they can watch it. And if they're not, they don't have to watch it. And in that way, I'm putting something out there that might catch somebody who finds it interesting. And also, it might help people who have doubts. You know, if I can defend certain points of the philosophy, I could help address certain doubts and make little media on one point at a time that people could share with somebody having a doubt or somebody they're cultivating who has a doubt. And I also want to get the philosophical defense of Krishna consciousness and the most sublime theology of Krishna consciousness onto the map of the atheist debates that go on online, because there's always been atheism and theism debates going on for, you know, thousands of years. But currently, the way it's going on in the popular media, Krishna consciousness is not on the map. So all the arguments against theism mainly go after versions of theism which are easy to attack because they have some inconsistencies, or they're incoherent, or they're not satisfying in some way. Whereas Krishna consciousness, we have the most sublime philosophy, and it's impervious to a lot of those attacks, and I would like to make that more widely known. So I'm creating little videos trying to make one philosophical point at a time, and it's more work than I thought it was going to be, but I've already got a couple of people commenting and random people on YouTube who are like turning into small fans.
Great. Yeah, now you got to follow up with some of those people.
Yeah, YouTube's hard because you have no idea who these people are. You click on their YouTube channel and there's nothing. There's no...
Oh. Like...
Which is why he's also doing Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram. Good. I mean, get their information if they're interested, and then you can... Then you can follow up with them.
Yeah.
That's very good. And Madhava Sangani, I understand you have some musical interests. And right now you're fully involved with the children. But in the future you're going to be doing a lot of musical interaction and writing songs.
I have lots of interests, Gurudev. I I was raised in a kind of classical music family, and I played in orchestras all my childhood, and I just have classical music training. And yeah, so I also have a tendency towards composition. So yeah, for the last few years, I've been recording and writing music. And that is definitely something that I want to do and pursue. Right now, I am really engaged. There are other things that I'm doing right now that I kind of can do a bit more readily. So we have started a once a week acoustic kirtan session at our local art centre for the general public to attend, and we pay our neighbour devotees Namaruchi and Jaisa to babysit our boys so that we can get an hour to have kirtan with the general public, which is really nice. And we've had some really nice people coming to that, and I think that is just an hour, kind of, it's possible, it's doable. And yeah, I also have other interests. I trained as a naturopath, and sometimes I manage to do little talks at the loft, preaching talks, but related to the naturopathy. So I have, other interests, and yeah, I look forward to having more time to, I guess the other thing that I just really love doing in my life is cooking, hosting, and serving people. So I'd like to find a way to engage that my nature to do that in Krishna's service. So let's see. But I think that once my boys grow up, I will have a lot of time to, find ways to do those things.
Great. Okay, finally, I guess the final question is, what's your advice for young Western people or Western-minded people, even if they're in India, who want to be Krishna conscious as far as their lifestyle is concerned? I know that's really an open question.
It's really open.
So you're asking people who want to be Krishna conscious as far as their lifestyle is concerned.
Yeah, it's like Western people who are accustomed to the Western lifestyle and, freewheeling type of lifestyle that we're all used to, or I was 100 years ago.
Are you saying the kind of lifestyle where you kind of just go with what you want to do and follow?
Yeah, just go with what you want to do. Maybe even multiple relationships and things like that. I mean, what is your advice? I mean, to fulfill basic needs, how can one really be happy, understanding that we all have the same basic needs?
Okay.
So what's your advice?
Well, I think firstly, it's obviously going to be really hard to fulfill all your needs in a multiple relationship type scenario, because it's just so many kind of emotions and lack of stability. And I think in a situation where there's not commitment like that, it's going to be really hard to get your needs met, really hard. But in terms of advice for people, I don't know if I'm the right person to be giving advice, to be honest, but I would just say that really people, firstly, before you get into any relationships, you need to make sure that you've sorted out your own issues. You can't be going into a relationship and expecting that somebody's going to fix you or solve all your problems. Because I think that's one reason why people have multiple relationships. And
two people trying to fill their tanks isn't going to work well.
So I think if people want to be happy, they really need to address their own baggage and issues. And I think if you can find the right person and marry and be stable and try to marry young enough that you can train in occupations that suit your psychophysical nature, so that you can have like a stable family life with employment that you love, then you're much more likely to be happy than, yeah. I mean, I think like all glories to the people who do, like, go and do all this service when they're really young. And for some people it works out, but for a lot it doesn't. So I think...
Well, for almost anybody, 1 or 2 years of, like, hard-out service being renounced would be good. You can get some training, but not much more than that.
Good. Good, good. That sounds really good.
Honestly, Gruno, I don't know if we're really, like, the right people to be asking. We're pretty...
You're a young, happy couple. Young, happy couple, ideal example of Krishna consciousness. And so of course, nowadays, there's a lot of propaganda against marriage. Mm. So...
Yeah. But that's... I mean, I wonder what the social science is behind that. The propaganda against science might just be that people don't like it, but are people really more happy with this whole freewheeling lifestyle where there's no commitment? Like... It used to be that marriage was seen as a practical thing. Like, you know, people were running farms or running businesses, and in order to run the farm well, they needed a wife to, you know, help them, and they needed kids to help run the farm. And it wasn't seen as a, you know, some chemistry thing, like, it makes me feel good. It was seen as, like, a way of life, and it was and it was seen as something that work was supposed to go into. But these days, it's sort of seen as, like, oh, right, it feels good today, and if it doesn't feel good tomorrow, then I'll change my mind. But seeing it as a duty and a responsibility and something that you work for, but it bears fruit, is much more satisfying and much more stable. And that's I've read some articles on it that argue that's why there's so much more divorce today, because it's seen in this whimsical way.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the social science shows. Unfortunately, many people don't accept that. But people have these basic needs, and one of those needs is feeling security, stability, and for many people, being in a protected environment.
Well, when there's this whole, like, whimsical thing, then you can never really be peaceful, because you never know, you know, maybe tomorrow this other person won't be happy with me and they'll leave, and then I'll be all alone again. And you're thinking you might do this, you know, you're always thinking, oh, is this still working for me? Maybe it's not working for me anymore. If it's not working for me, I'm going to go. And it's just not a nice way to think. It's much better to just think, no, we've made a commitment and we're both doing this and we're going to look after each other. If that person's having a hard time, I'm going to help them. And if I'm having a hard time, they'll help me. And I know that's going to happen. And then you can just be peaceful and focus on your life.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I have to say that also... There's, like, there's just personally, like, practically. Pardon? Can you come say hi to Gurudev quickly? And then, yeah, come say hi to Gurudev and tell him it's your special Akadazi birthday.
It's my own Akadazi.
Hey, Narottam.
Oh, look, it's Gurudev.
Hare Krishna.
It's look, it's Radhagokulokananda.
That's the temple in New Goloka in North Carolina where I visited.
Yeah, can you say bye to Gruno?
Bye.
You want to tell him how happy you are today?
I'm so happy.
That's good. I'm happy you're happy.
Krishna.
All right. Is there anything else you both like to add?
Sorry, I have to say that there's real power in, like, having commitment and a kind of mutual, yeah, real... The commitment in marriage, and then when issues do come up in marriage, which they always will, like areas of conflict, areas of different opinions, working through them together is, like, it really brings out a lot of kind of good in both of us, I've found. Like, because to say that we're just perfect and we never disagree on things... you go sort it out. To say that we never have issues would be completely wrong. We do have, like, things that we disagree on, but somehow, like, working through them together has brought out, I think, a lot of good in both of us. So rather than just saying, it's too hard, I can't be bothered, like, with marriage, you're forced to sit through things, and then we both ended up growing a lot from doing that. I'm sure that it'll happen a lot. We've only been married for, like, 6.5 years, so I'm sure we'll both learn a lot from each other.
Great.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. And I can really see, that the Grihastha Ashram is very purifying. Like, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it in a good way, because you fulfill these desires in like a way that's conducive to Krishna consciousness. And I can already see it's like, yeah, it's, you're attached, like really attached to your family, but at the same time, it's just such a stable platform to realize that you're a spirit soul, and ultimately these things are just temporary. It's like, but then still, you've got that loving relationship that hopefully you'll be able to continue even in the spiritual world, right? It's like...
Fantastic.
Both things going on at the same time, and I think it's... I can just see the more that we're married, I can really see that it's just such a simple but effective system, the kind of Varnashram, Grihastha Ashram. Yeah.
Great. All right. Thank you very much. I have another class coming up pretty soon. Okay. Actually, just a reading in Krishna book in about 15 minutes with devotees. You're welcome to join that too.
Sure, thank you.
Are you going to try to go live from...
Yeah, I'm going to try to do live Facebook at the same time just as a test.
Via Zoom.
Via Zoom. Okay. Thank you very much.
Is that what you wanted us to say, Gurudev?
What's that?
Is that what you wanted us to say?
You said what you wanted to say.
I mean, we can do it again.
I didn't put words in your mouth.
No, but I mean, like, did we do all right?
Of course. There's no question of doing badly. You were honest, open, forthright, and a very good example of Krishna conscious grihastha life.
Okay. Well, thank you. Like I said, it's a bit embarrassing being interviewed, but we'll do it as a service.
All right. Thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.